Good morning, everybody. It's good that we can come together just to hear what our Father wants to share with us today. I believe this is a breakthrough message for many of us. You know, the term gospel is good news. So the gospel of God is God's good news to mankind. And so the question is, when we start to speak about the holiness of God and all about holiness, is holiness God's good news to us, or is it like bad news to us? And because for many, it's like a bad news, and there's a lot of history, there's a lot of emotions tied up, a lot of experience tied up to the past experience of what many in the body of Christ has determined what holiness is all about. And it's been quite a legalistic kind of understanding of holiness. But also, it's a holiness where we're trying to do it ourselves. We're trying to purify ourselves. We're trying to become more holy by our own strength, our own willpower, our own ability, and we fail miserably and we get discouraged. And I want to share a little bit this morning that I believe will really help us to understand that holiness is something beautiful. So I want to look at the beautiful reality of holiness. It's really a beautiful reality for us as believers, not only for us knowing that our God is a holy God, but also to understand that we too have been declared by Jesus perfect, holy, and yet we are, in our daily experience, we are being made holy. So I want to open this up a little bit. It's like our Heavenly Father wants to just really share with us the beautiful side or the beauty of holiness, to destroy sort of the legalistic man approach, man's definition of the holiness of God. In Revelation 4, and we see over here where these four living creatures are at the throne of God, and they are worshiping God, and they are day and night worshiping God, and they are saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." So here straight away we know that God is a holy God, and this worship is going up, this acclamation, this proclamation, these four creatures are proclaiming that, and they are now saying that, never stopping. We also carry on in that in Revelation 4 with these 24 elders fall down before him and sit on the throne and worship him, and who lives forever and ever. They lay their crown before the throne and saying, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." Now that's a very important insight to understand the holiness of God, because we see here that it is God who created all things. And that's very, very important to start to grasp the reality of what holiness is all about and the incredible, beautiful realities of holiness. In probably a very often quoted scripture when it comes to holiness is that 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 15 and 16. We read there, "As he who called you is holy," so God is holy, "you also be holy in your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy." So there's many, many more scriptures, but we're beginning to understand that God is a holy God, and at the same time, he has called us to be holy because he is a holy God. What is the good news about this? What's the beautiful reality of what the Word of God is sharing with us here this morning? Well, let's first have a look at the two main characteristics of holiness. The first characteristic of holiness is, as we know, it means to be set apart. But a good description of this is otherness. So we see here, set apart means otherness. We are not like, God is not like anything else. That is why in that Revelations 4, that for you created all things. So the otherness of God is crucial in understanding the beautiful reality of us having a relationship with a holy God. He's not like anybody else. He's not like anything. He is other than anybody else. He's other than anything else. Okay, we'll look at that now. The second or another characteristic of holiness is obviously moral perfection. So it's to be morally pure. Now, God's holiness, God is otherness. In other words, the standard of holiness is God Himself. There's no definition, there's no reality, there's no understanding, there's no experience of holiness outside of God. In other words, God doesn't look at anything else and measures up and says, okay, let me check whether I'm holy or not. He doesn't have a standard to measure. He is the standard. That's important. That's why holiness, and we speak about the otherness of the otherness of God, He alone is the standard of holiness. We now look at God and we can see the standard of God's purity, the standard of God being above all things. Then we have a standard and we can say, okay, now we see what holiness is. We have an understanding, a little bit of understanding of what holiness. And so He is our standard in which we can determine whether our lives are morally pure. Our lives are totally set apart from sin, from darkness, etc. And it's living in the reality of the purity that is in God. So He is the standard. That's important. The other aspect to this is, because we speak about holiness as being morally pure, we have to know that with God, all His thoughts are absolutely pure. There's no darkness in His thoughts. So His thoughts towards us is absolutely pure, 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 pure. There's no darkness. There's no sin. There's nothing like that. It's absolutely pure. His actions towards us and His dealings with mankind and with creation, with all things, is absolutely pure. There's no darkness in Him at all. We've got to realize it, because in our life, if we don't understand the beautiful reality of holiness, that God's dealing with us is absolutely pure, 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 we will battle when it comes to suffering. We will battle when it comes to the trials of life. We will not be able to say all things work out for the good for those who love Him. That will just be a fridge magnet that we're quoting, but it's not living in that reality. Because by faith, we have not grasp and receive this fact that God, you're dealing with me, is absolutely pure. So we can embrace the holiness of God. See how beautiful the good news of God concerning holiness. We've also got to understand that in all His words that He communicates to mankind is absolutely pure. There's no darkness in the way He communicates and the words that He communicates to us. So when we read the Word of God and the Holy Spirit reveals and takes us into truth, that is absolutely pure, 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 pure. It is totally free from any form of darkness. It's full of light. It's other than the ways of our own wisdom. It's above that. It's what He's sharing with us is beyond our comprehension. It's beyond our understanding. It goes beyond the philosophies of the world. It goes beyond what the world is saying concerning our lives. Because now we're moving into God's holiness, which is above it all. And we have placed our lives in Him. Being born again, remember, when you get born again by the Holy Spirit, we now enter into the reality of being in God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. So we have been taken out of the dominion of darkness. We've been brought into a kingdom of light. See, that's our reality. So this kingdom of God is otherness. It's not the same as the world system. It's not the same as the world. It's not controlled by that. Our lives are not dictated by that. And we are learning now by faith to begin to renew our mind and to accept that in this reality of God being holy and through Christ Jesus, what has taken place within our own lives, we'll get to that. We then begin to be able to think differently and set our mind on things above and our heart on things above and experience the reality of the beauty of holiness. Really, this is good news when we speak about God's holiness. Okay, so that's just a very important aspect to understand when it comes to when we speak about God's holiness. He is set apart and he is absolutely pure in all his dealings and his attributes and his characteristics and everything about God. There's no darkness. And that is why in 1 John chapter 1, we see there a statement in verse 5, God is light. In him is no darkness. That describes the purity of God, the holiness of God. Okay, he is our standard in which we now realize, well, God, that's why when we get the revelation of his holiness, we get to that place just like we see in Isaiah, oh, woe is me, you know, and you're very conscious of sin. But we must not bypass Jesus. If we bypass Jesus, we will try and become right. We will try in our own strength to try and deal with the sin and imperfections in our life, etc. So we mustn't bypass our Lord Jesus. That's why we've got to understand the love of God in the context of holiness. If we don't see the love of God in the context of holiness, then we will end up with a legalistic holiness. We'll not understand the tremendous love of our Heavenly Father in sending his Son Jesus Christ. Okay, so that's what we looked at. We see in Jeremiah 10, verse 6, for instance, where we see the otherness of God. There is none like you, O God. You are great, and great is your name in might. So there's many, many scriptures that we read over there where the prophets and the writers of the scriptures inspired by the Holy Spirit will just declare, God, there's none like you. He is unique. He's set apart. He's our Father. He's our God. Okay, now we are in him. And that's the reality that God wants to share. What's this beautiful side? What's this beauty of holiness in enabling us to be in him and he in us by the Holy Spirit? Remember what Jesus says, I'm going to leave you and I'm going to ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes, then I and the Father will make our dwelling within you so that you will not be left of as orphans, and now we can begin to have this incredible relationship with a holy, pure, set apart God. Now, a few scriptures I'd like us to go to. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1. And here, remember, the Apostle John over here has spent time with the disciples. They walked with Jesus. They touched him. They were spent some time there in fellowship with Jesus Christ. He is the Holy Son of God. And then he says over there, the life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. He writes this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, continuously purifies us from all and every sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and the word has no place in our lives. Now, to understand something about what John is writing up here, let's just quickly go to Genesis chapter 1. And yet there in verse 26 and verse 27, where God now is going to create mankind. And what does God say? God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them, and then God blessed them. As I mentioned last week, it's important to understand that God has chosen to rule through man. And here God creates mankind, Adam and Eve, mankind, male and female, in his own image and his likeness. God is holy. God is pure. God is set apart. God is not part of this creation. No one created God. God created all things through his son, Jesus Christ. And it's through Jesus who now sustains all things by his powerful word. So we realize over here that God has created mankind to be other than creation. God has created mankind to be morally pure. So here we have Adam and Eve living in the reality of being in light. They are light because there's no sin, there's no darkness in them. They are walking in the garden, they are with God, they're having fellowship with God in the incredible realm of there's no darkness. They are having a relationship with God that is so real. So what are they doing? They are sharing life together with God. They're sharing life together with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's why when we come here to 1 John chapter 1, and we read over there that God is light, in him is no darkness. What took place when Adam and Eve sinned? All of a sudden, darkness entered into them. Darkness came into their lives. And now they could not have fellowship with light anymore because now darkness has come into their lives. And that is why they hid. And this is a reality for the body of Christ, generally speaking. Very often, because we don't understand the beautiful reality of holiness and what Christ has done. And we have now removed Christ and we have placed upon ourselves our own ability to be holy. What takes place? We find there that we are hiding from God. And that's why many believers would say, but where is God? God is not near me. God doesn't hear my prayers and all those kind of things. Maybe it's because we don't understand this incredible holiness of God that we're speaking about, but we've got an understanding of a religious holiness that is something that I need to do to try and purify myself. And so what takes place? We are bypassing our Lord Jesus Christ. We're no longer living in the reality of God's grace. We'll get to that. So we see over here that now we have Adam and Eve. They now been taken out of the garden, that fellowship, sharing life together with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit as they were, is not like that anymore. Darkness has come in, and we see throughout history just the increase of darkness coming and coming and the reality of that taking place. So John writes over here, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light, in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, we'd walk in the darkness. We lie and do not live by the truth. Something took place. God so loved the world. God has created us. God has created us in His own likeness. God created us to be holy. He created us to be morally pure. He created us to be above all things because of our relationship with Him. So we know that there's something profound about what John is sharing over here. And so something has to have happened, or something needs to be done to deal with the darkness that we find ourselves in, to deal with the darkness in our hearts and our thoughts and our actions and our behavior and our motives. Everything that is not God is darkness. Everything that's not light is dark. Okay? Sin is dark. And so we see over there, like in Ephesians, in Colossians 1, verse 13 and 14, where through the blood of Jesus, God has rescued us. He's taken us out of the dominion of darkness, under that control of darkness, of where sin ruled in our lives. We were slaves to sin, and as a result of sin, the enemy could have access and we could be trolled by the demonic realms, etc. Now we see here that God has taken us out of that through the blood of Jesus, and He has placed us into the kingdom of light. So this is our position. We're no longer like the rest of the world. We're no longer like unsaved people. We are otherwise. We have been taken out. We have been set apart. We are now in another kingdom, the kingdom of light. It's not like any other kingdom. So we cannot look at the worldly kingdom and say, well, this is what God's kingdom is like. No, His kingdom is above all of these things. We cannot look at anything in the natural and to try and say that's our reality. That's what the Bible speaks about. No, we are now taken out of that dominion of darkness. We are now placed into a kingdom of His Son, Jesus Christ, through the blood of Jesus. He's made atonement for us. So this is our reality. This is how we must renew our mind. This is how we need to start thinking. And therefore, faith plays a major role. And I've trusted the Holy Spirit now is just opening up and sharing with us, so we are fully persuaded that the holiness of God has got something to do with dealing with the darkness in my life. This holiness of God has something to do with His love in sending His Son Jesus Christ on the cross, so that through Jesus He can deal with this darkness, this unholiness within my life, so that I can have koinonia. That's the word used in 1 John chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, 6, etc. And this koinonia is where we share life together with God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So holiness is beautiful because holiness brings us into the reality of being able to have fellowship with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this is the beautiful reality and the love of God in sending His Son Jesus, so that His Son, through His Son, He could take us out of the darkness. Because getting born again, what took place? Now Jesus, the gift of the righteousness from Jesus, His righteousness, is the gift that the Father gives to you and I. And we have now been placed into, so our life is in Him. He is our life. So His holiness, now we now live in the reality that He is holy. Therefore, we have been perfected, as we all read here in Hebrews 10. Now, in verse 14. So what's so crucial about this, if we go now to Ephesians chapter 1, just to give you more scriptures, yeah. Here, Paul is saying to the saints, okay, the saints, the holy ones in Ephesus, the called out ones in Ephesus, those that have been set apart by God, taken out of the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of light of His Son Jesus Christ, in whom He loves. Grace and peace be yours from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. All of a sudden, we read verse 4, for He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding, and he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ Jesus to be put into effect when the times have been reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth even together under one head, even Christ. So what do we notice over here? Before we go back to Genesis chapter 1, before God created man, what do we see over here? For he chose us in Christ Jesus before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. So predestination, he has a good understanding of predestination. We have been predestined to be holy and blameless in Christ Jesus. Powerful. So as God created man in his own image to be blameless, as we read over here, to be holy, to be blameless, God already knew that Adam and Eve was going to fall, but he's already predestined before he even spoke, "Let us make man." He had already, in his son Jesus, had now really predestined that we will now, through his son, once again be holy and blameless. Can you see the gospel? Can you see? Because it was God's heart for mankind to be in his family, to share life with him, so that they can live, being loved by the Father, to share life with his son Jesus, to share life with the Holy Spirit, family of God. It's always been his plan to have his family, and sin came in, but he had already predestined that I'm sending my son Jesus so that once again in him and through him, guess what? You will be holy and blameless so that we can have fellowship. We can have koinonia. We can share life together once again. What an incredible thing. We can't bypass the love of God when it comes to holiness. You've got to see holiness is about relationship. Holiness is all about us having incredible fellowship with God, sharing life with God, and he sharing his life with us, the eternal life, the abundant life. This is what we're speaking about. This is the reality of God's holiness. It's nothing to do with the religious holiness that many of us grew up in and had some kind of understanding. No, it's relational. It's relational. Any understanding of holiness that removes relational reality of sharing life with God, it's not the holiness we're speaking about here from the Word of God. It's our own definition. And that's so crucial to understand. Otherwise, we will battle. Let's look at some more scriptures. So here we see in Ephesians 1, as I read over there, that we have been predestined before creation to be holy and blameless in his sight. Such an incredible truth. In Titus chapter 2, verse 14, we read another wonderful scripture over here where we're going to come back now to Ephesians again. In Titus chapter 2, in verse 14, again we're speaking about the blood of Jesus and the grace of God that comes through Jesus. And he is saying, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness, darkness, and worldly passions." See, we've been set apart from that. "And to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age," not in the age to come, this present age, "while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself." Can you see? Here we see that Jesus is doing a work in us with his blood, with the cross, purifying for himself you and I, the children of God. That's because, can you see the heart of God for relational, the relation side of holiness, what Jesus, the Holy Son of God, has done, so that in Him, as we receive by faith what His blood has done, what His sacrifice has done, and being our substitute. So now, because He was our substitute on the cross, now by faith we receive what Christ has done. Gets credited to us because our life is now hid in Him. He is our life. And now we are living in the reality of being redeemed by the blood of Jesus, paid the price for our sin, etc. And He is to purify for Himself a people that are His very own. Belong to Him. We don't belong to sin anymore. We don't belong to the world. We belong to Him, eager to do what is good. Hebrews chapter 10. And verse 14, another beautiful scripture over here. Since that time, He waits for His enemies to be made His footstool, because by one sacrifice, He has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. He has made perfect forever. So here we see that we are holy. We have been made perfect through the blood of Jesus. So that is our status in Him. That's our position in Jesus. Yet we are being made holy. So now in our life, our experience here on earth, we find that we are busy going through a process where we are being made holy. So we have, you are holy, you are being made holy. Because we are holy, we can now have fellowship with God. And we go back to 1 John chapter 1 again. So now, as we have fellowship, as we walk in the light, because God is in the light, when the Holy Spirit reveals to you and I any form of darkness and our attitude and our motives, and He shares with us these things, we straight away, we confess Him, and the blood of Jesus Christ continually purifies us from all unrighteousness, cleansing us from that which is not holy, that which is dark, that which is not light. And we now, because we've got a heart of repentance, because we have a desire to be holy as children of God, we've got a heart to change the way we think, to change our attitudes, to change our behavior according to what God is sharing with you and I, what takes place? We start to find this process, we are becoming more and more like Him. That is the reality. That's the power of the Holy Spirit working within us. Now let's go back to Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 4, first of all, before we look at 5, we remember the before the foundation, God has already destined for you and I to be blameless, to be holy. He created man in His own image. That's the original purpose of God. This is our reality. This is what God wanted us. This is why He created us, to be holy and pure, so that we can live in the light, we can have fellowship with God, and we can share life together with Him and He with us. So we see over here in this amazing Ephesians chapter 4, and He's speaking about the truth that is found in Jesus Christ. You were taught with regard to the former way of life, put off that old self. That's the self that has died now. It's no longer that old self that lives. There's a new self. This new self is the new self in Christ Jesus, holy, yet being made holy. So put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. That's no longer our old life. That power is broken. So to be made new in the attitude of your mind, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Back to the original. This is what, so in Christ, He's brought us back to the original. So in Jesus, once again, you and I can have fellowship. We can share our life with Him. God can share His life. We can really be involved with the Father's will here on earth. Our kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We can be so involved with the Father's business here on earth, because He has chosen to rule through mankind. His Son, now through His Son, He rules. He is the King And now the reality of God's incredible rulership through his son Jesus is a reality for us. We his body. That's why through the blood of Christ, we are a kingdom of priests to rule here on earth. We are a holy nation. We've been set apart. We're not part of the darkness anymore. We're in the kingdom of light. And as a children of light, we live as children of light in Ephesians chapter 5. And light consists of all goodness, of righteousness, of truth. So we now live as children of light. And this light overcomes the darkness. This light exposes the darkness. This is who we are. And we start to see. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Look at this most profound truth over here. Paul is writing about husbands and wives, etc. But in verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Why did Jesus give his life for us? In order to make us holy, cleansing us by the washing with the water through his word, and to present us to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Let's go back. Remember in Ephesians chapter 1? Go back to Genesis chapter 1 in creation, Ephesians chapter 1 over here. For he chose us in him, in Christ Jesus, before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight. He predestined us to be children of God, not orphans. This is who we are, children of God, able now to be able to live in the light and able to be able to have fellowship with the Father, to share life with him and his life with us. This incredible oneness that Jesus prayed for. Let them be one as you and I are one, Father. And this is what we're speaking about. So holiness is relational. Holiness is beautiful. Holiness is such a revelation of God's incredible love that through his son, so that once again, you and I can receive the holiness of Jesus, what his blood, his perfect sacrifice has done, once and for all sacrifice. It's a done deal. We've been made perfect, yet we are growing, we are living, we're being sanctified, in other words, and we are experiencing more and more the power of the blood of Jesus. And now we are finding that as we move more and more, embracing this glorious beauty of holiness, we're finding that our relationship is improving. We're finding the depth of relationship. We're finding that more and more we know the will of God. We're able to share our life with him and he with us, and we can be involved in the things of God here on earth as it is in heaven, that prayer that Jesus prayed. So I just pray that the Holy Spirit will just really just enable this to be established within our lives so that we really begin to embrace that holiness is all about relationships. That you and I, through the blood of Jesus now, we're able to share life with God and he with us. No longer hiding. No longer hiding. Can you just imagine? Can you just imagine for a moment the body of Christ? Because often we would look at the world, we look at our nation and we say, oh, we just see darkness, we see evil, we see just what sin is doing. We just see the wicked are prospering and all that's taking place. And we've got so much confidence in the power of darkness. We've got so much faith in darkness that we've forgotten that we are a kingdom of light. We've forgotten that we are light. We've forgotten the reality of holiness. And so we want to have confidence in the fact that we are children of light. We want to have confidence in the fact that God is light and light is more powerful than darkness. And this is why there's a calling, there's this fire of God, if you want to call it, with Jesus like baptizing us with his holy fire, cleansing us, bringing about an awareness of areas in our lives that need to come into the light. We can repent from it and walk in holiness so that we can have fellowship, so that together we can now begin to rule on the earth, no longer compromising ourselves, no longer so controlled by darkness. Now we have been taken above that. Now we can begin to be seated with Christ, get his agenda. The more we live in the reality of holiness, the more we begin to experience the will of God, and then we'll be able to say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come here today. Your will be done over here. And then we as children of light, whatever those works and those actions, whatever they may be, they carry the authority, they carry light that exposes darkness. It's more powerful than darkness. So that's why we're praying for us as a body of Christ in the nation to rise up, realizing we're no longer in the dominion of darkness. We've been taken out through the blood of Jesus, paid the price. We belong to Him, and He is purifying us. He is the one purifying us. So when we read over here again, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the blood, and to present her to Himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. This is what Jesus is doing with us. He is working in us. He will present us to Himself, first of all, before He hands everything over to the Father. What a joy. I don't know about you, but this motivates me to really just work together with the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit shares with me things in my life, knowing that this is Jesus working, because He's going to be presenting us to Himself, holy and blameless, our original state of mankind, created in the image of God. Powerful. Fellowship. As we grow in this, as we get rooted and established in the fact that holiness is about sharing life with God and He's sharing His life with us, the more we begin to experience the intimacy, the reality of being in the family of God, Him being our Father. So may the Holy Spirit help us to be set free from any form of holiness that we've taken on, practice that is denying fellowship, sharing life together with the Father, but is keeping us in fear and hiddenness. And that's not our reality, fear and hiddenness, because of an ungodly understanding of holiness. We mustn't bypass Jesus. I've shared this many times before, but we have the reality where in Isaiah chapter 6, and I remember one day praying here in the church, and the presence of God filled the place, and I wanted to run out because of His holiness, of who, His glory, of who He is. I just wanted to run out, and I felt like Isaiah, woe is me, you know, at just that place. That is what I was experiencing. And then Father shared with me, now, don't bypass the new covenant. That's an old covenant reality. Now, receive what Christ has done in the context of the new covenant, because your life is in Him. My Son has incredible fellowship with me. You're in Him. And the moment I just renewed and accepted, but Jesus, this is what You have done for me, and I'm in You, straight away I could now stay and abide in the holiness of God because of the blood of Jesus. Our life is in Him, and therefore we can have fellowship with the Father. The Spirit of God will show us stuff. And this is why, as I've been sharing for many weeks now, that because we have received the gift of righteousness, we see there in Romans 5, this righteousness is God's righteousness. It's Christ's righteousness that He has given to you and I. We have just by faith received and accepted, I am righteous because of Jesus. My life is hid in You, Lord. What takes place? We then read that this grace of God reigns through righteousness. Now that we're staying in this grace, we've received this gift of righteousness. It's a gift from God. It's grace. Now all the benefits, that's why Paul writes there that praise be to God, because in Him, praise be to God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Holiness, such a spiritual blessing. Redemption, such a spiritual blessing. Fatherhood, being adopted into the family of God, becoming a true child of God, such a spiritual blessing. But also the fact of His blood purifying us, continuously cleansing us from all unrighteousness, such a spiritual blessing. The power of this incredible sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And as we stay in this place of grace, we receive the powerful work of the Holy Spirit. We don't, the old operating system of sin, the Adamic sin, the Adamic fallen nature, that operating system is no longer our operating system. We have a new operating system, and that is the Spirit of God, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. He, Holy Spirit, is our new operating system. And so that's why if we live by the Spirit, we will not satisfy, we will not gratify. We will live in the reality of holiness. We will live in that reality. So when we become conscious of, when we do sin, etc., don't try and do it in yourself and try and go, now I've got to go do this, I've got to do extra work to try and become pure and holy. No, simply receive Jesus, your blood is what I confess. This is, I've done this, I confess this is sin, and I confess also that your blood cleanses me, and I thank you. I speak that confession over my life. Your blood cleanses me from this, and I thank you for that. I thank you for Holy Spirit, how you shared with me, and I change my behavior, I change my attitude, my way of thinking, etc., and I walk in the way that you've now just shown me, and I want to thank you, God. That's the way where we are now, becoming more and more like him in true godliness and holiness. That's the way that we are no longer conformed to darkness, but we are transformed into the very likeness of God because of what Christ has done. So I believe and I trust that this has been a good insight to be able to embrace the beautiful reality of holiness. So Father, thank you that you're a holy God. You are light and there's no darkness in you. All your dealings with mankind is pure and it's good, it's holy. Your thoughts towards us is so pure and holy. And I'm asking now that the blood of Jesus will cleanse our minds of the contamination of a religious kind of holiness that has brought fear into our lives and brought separation and hiding into our reality of our relationship with you. And I'm asking, Father, today that we will be so conscious and we'll embrace the work of Jesus Christ and the gift of faith, the gift of grace, the gift of righteousness, and to find that now our life is in Christ Jesus. He is our very life. And as that is our truth, to begin to experience that, yes, we have been perfected because of being in Jesus. And yes, we are being made holy so that we can live in the reality of who we really are in your Son Jesus, this new creation man in Christ Jesus. So today, Father, we receive your grace. We receive the working of the blood of Jesus cleansing us. We receive, Holy Spirit, your mighty ministry, your power working within us. And we want to thank you as you lead us into all truth. Thank you, Father. Father, thank you that in this nation, or in every town, every village, every city, every province, all over, thank you, Father, for this incredible army of light that's rising up. And as we rise up and as we begin to understand the reality of working together and having sharing a life with you and your life with us, the more we understand this, the more we receive this, the more now we'll be able to be involved, Father, with your kingdom come, your will be done here. Rule through us, Jesus, rule through us. It's no longer the old man that's living, but it's now that us as a new creation in you, holy and blameless. You live in us and through us. Let your will be done. Let us be able to display the glory of Father. Let us be able to proclaim and share the incredible good news and the works of the Father to be seen. And we thank you for that. So I want to thank you that although darkness covers the whole world, but now your light, this incredible glorious light of yours, this holy army of yours, Jesus, that you are purifying and you have purified, but you're in the process of cleansing, and so that you can present us to yourself. Thank you for washing us with your word this morning, that we can shine as lights and to really begin to take over our towns where darkness has captured our towns and the people's lives. So I want to thank you for an awakening of, what can I say, soldiers of light, children of light, children of God that's light, that we'll be able to fulfill and to see the reality of people being set free from darkness and coming into your kingdom, that this nation can share life together with you, Father. And this I believe and I ask for through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you.